Oh, man, come on, let's give the Lord a praise offering in this place. Amen. You can take your seats. I was just, you know, while we were singing that, should that not be the declaration of our lives every day? Yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever and ever. Amen. But that is the declaration of our hearts, our lives. Amen. Come on. Ben, thank you for leading us in worship. Thank you just for allowing us to spend time with God this morning. As I've been preparing this, well, I must say, it's probably for the last couple of weeks that God has been stirring a lot of stuff in our hearts and in our lives, and even just the men's camp. The men's camp was amazing. I've never done men's camps. I don't know what a men's camp is about, but I had fun leading this one and being part of it, and I believe God really just stirred a deep thing in our hearts. And if I think of what everything, our worship and everything this morning, what has transpired, it is interesting, the title of the sermon this morning, The Bread of Life. Now, when Laurette said in the week, it's communion, son, I was like, oh, I didn't realize. But you're such a powerful thought just there, the bread of life. And I'll get to that this morning. So, Father, I just thank you for this time in your presence. I thank you for this time in your word. I thank you for this time together. And I really pray that your kingdom will come. Your will be done, Father. Have your way in all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you are visiting us here this morning, then there on that wall, there's a diagram there, and that is our growth path. And one of the things that we are focusing on for this quarter, well, I guess it's going to flow through the whole year, is encountering God firstly. We want to spend time with Jesus. We want to be in His presence. We want His glory to influence our lives and take it wherever He wants to go. And one of the things that God has been continually saying to us is He wants us to work on those, or He wants to reestablish those things of hope, holiness, and purpose in our lives. And He wants to draw us closer. You see, if we have hope, there is a future. If we are holy, we reflect the God that we are serving. And if we walk out the purposes that He has set aside for us, we will fulfill everything that He has called us to do. And if you just think of that, that is such a powerful, if I walk in the purposes of God, then I will miss nothing. Some of us sit here, we have FOMO. You know, you fear of missing out on certain stuff, but when we walk in the purposes of God, we will miss out from nothing. So this morning, Luke 12. Now, I want you to consider these scriptures. This is kind of the intro to get to where I want to go. And I want you to carefully consider these scriptures. When Quibus did the message earlier, I thought, so he's now going to preach my sermon. Because, you know, we do share a name. And I really thought you're like, what are you doing, Quibus? I mean, just keep going, my man. This is good stuff. So, yeah, it's just amazing how the Holy Spirit can pull things together. So Luke 12, and this is 22 to 20. Well, we're going to look till 31, and we're going to look at in portions. But I want you to consider this. And he said to his disciples, Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your lives. Just nudge someone quickly next to you. Just tell them, do not be anxious about your life. Do not be fearful, do not be afraid, do not be anything, do not be anxious about your life. And then he continues and he uses specific words. He says, what you will eat. And all the men went, yes, man, that thought. It's the one question Laurette dreads when we and Jemuel and Caleb walk into the house. So what eat ons? It's like, I don't know. God made us. But he says here, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. And all the ladies went, what? No shopping is required. You do not have to worry about what you're going to wear, ladies. This is amazing scripture. For your life is more than food, and your body more than clothing. Now, in our Western world, in our minds right now, what does that mean to you? You know, if you think of your, maybe just share with someone quickly there. What do you hear when you hear the scripture? This is the Bible, right?
Yeah.
And this is Jesus speaking. He's saying, listen, I don't want you to be anxious about anything. I don't want you to worry about food or your clothes or anything. Maybe just tell someone quickly what you think about that portion. Johannes Jacob. Right, so I hope you got some nice revelation. I've got a visitor that's walking around. He's having fun here. You'll see in the scriptures that we're going to read now how many times God actually repeats what He's saying in different ways. And, you know, when God repeats stuff, we would do best to listen. Wow, I did not do that. Sure. All right, so verse 29 says this. Do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all these nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Maybe just tap someone and say, your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek His kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. What other scripture says this? Matthew 6:33, no? Says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto us. And I want us to consider, what are we seeking? Quibus started off with his message there earlier, and he said, what are you seeking? What are you pursuing? What are you chasing after? What is important in your life? And when we consider these portions of Scripture, I do believe it challenges us to consider what is important to us. And listen, I think we all can agree, food and clothes is quite important. It's high on the list. You need to have those things in this world. You know, in this world, if you walk around naked in the street, that's not going to work. You need some clothes. Please, that's all good with us. But here's the thing that I believe God wants to bring on our attention. It's the things that we worry about. The stuff that we consistently in our lives, and this can be more than just food and clothing or drink. What are we pursuing so relentlessly in our lives? And are we content to know that your Father knows that you need these things? Your Father knows everything that you need. It's funny how we as parents, you know, we know what our kids need. And they will especially remind us most often, right? I want that car. In the shop. But you will know what your kids need. And yeah, we come and we have a loving Father, and He knows everything that we need. And we need to trust Him in that way. And verse 31 says, instead, seek the kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. So there's this place, and if I understand the scripture correctly, that if I seek the kingdom, then my Father knows what I need, and He will supply in my need. And I think in my life what I've realized is that if He doesn't think I need it, then it's okay. Ouch. If He doesn't think you need it, then it should be fine. But then we go, but Lord, I really need it. Am I secure in knowing that God knows what I need and that God will supply what I need? Am I secure? Am I at peace to know that He has got this? In a world that is quite interesting at the moment, lots of stuff going on. Am I okay with that? And then I wonder what we're going to do with the next verse. Because the next verse is the next verse. All right, okay. Luke 12, 32 says this. Fear not, again, fear not, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sure, come on. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, Dion talked about just meditating, just thinking of that. Just maybe in your mind quickly, just on that, before we read the rest. What does it mean to you when God says, man, it's my good pleasure to give you the kingdom? It's my good pleasure to, for you experience my kingdom. I mean, we sang the Our Father, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. Sometimes that is such just blasé words. When we pray that, when we sing that, we say, Lord, let your rule, your reign, your authority, your power, your anointing come on my life. And here Jesus says, it's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And then he continues, verse 33, and this is the one that I wonder, what will we do about the scripture? Because apparently this is in the Bible. In Luke, you will find it there. This is not my Bible. You will find it in yours too. It says, sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that do not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. But what do we do with the portion that says, sell your stuff? Get rid of your stuff and give to the poor. That is a hard scripture. Can you imagine being the disciples here? And Jesus coming to them and says, okay, listen, gents, I want you to sell everything that you have and give it to the poor, because you are about your Father's kingdom. Where your treasure is, there your heart is going to be also. And this whole portion challenges us here with this last, verse 34, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Where is my treasure truly? Is my treasure in the pursuit of the kingdom of heaven? And I realize when I pursue the kingdom of heaven, when I pursue Jesus more, that all these things will be added to me. So he's saying you will be without lack. You see, there's a focus of our shift of our focus here from the stuff to the kingdom. And in doing so, I receive everything that I need. You can go read some of the gentlemen in the Bible, how blessed they were, but then scripture says, but they walked with God. They were so in love with Him. They pursued, they kept His ways. They did everything that He wanted, and then God blessed them. Became the richest men of their times, or were very prosperous. God really blessed them. Then I guess I asked the question of myself, so why are we battling so much? Is it because I'm seeking and running after the wrong stuff? Am I seeking the kingdom? And listen, Matthew 6:33, we can quote that scripture so easily. But it's in the doing that we sometimes fail. And I believe what he's saying here is not, you know, when he says sell your possessions, I'm not saying this is the command of the Lord for you this morning. Go sell everything you have. I do believe there's a weighing up of what is important to me. And I guess it begs the question, if that is the instruction of God to you, will you actually do it? Will I actually sell everything for the sake of the kingdom? Am I willing, Like that parable that Jesus shared of the guy that finds the treasure and then he goes and he sells everything just to buy that land with that treasure. And this is where that comes in. Is that, will I be willing, if he requires that of me, to sell everything? Probably our first response is, when that happens, is, devil, go away from me. What are you saying? How can this be the Lord? How can he expect this of me? This for me is actually quite real, and I know I've shared this at various occasions, but before I stepped into full-time ministry, we were praying about stuff, and I saw this picture of Shack Village, and Lorette was there. You know that little stall komikies? She was washing in this thing with rags, and she was beautiful, but I mean she didn't look very well. And then Jemuel and Caleb was running there with tattered clothes and torn and so on, and they were there in the dust and everything, and I saw this picture, and while I'm seeing this, God says to me, so will you follow me and preach my gospel there if that is what I require of you? And I went, yo, I do not know. I want to say yes, but that is a big ask, Lord. And that is the level to which the scripture actually challenges us, is that, are you willing to follow him even if you have to sell everything to gain the kingdom, to do what is his will, to walk in his ways? If the king says, sell everything, will you do it? If he says, it is my will as the king, and for my kingdom to come into your life, sell the lot and go for it. Am I willing to trust him? Is that like that widow with the mite that walked in and it was her last, and she chucks it into the bin, and Jesus goes, she gave more than everybody because it was her everything. Am I willing to give everything for the kingdom? And I guess this is the challenge for us that know and serve God for so long, is I think we do become a bit comfortable. You know, we play the grace card, and we play the favor of God card and everything, but in playing that, sometimes we are disobedient to his will for our lives. Because he is the king and he requires stuff of us, and then we don't want to do it. He said, it will reveal where my treasure is. It will reveal what my priorities are. And I can tell you, I've been challenged with this in the last couple of days, even just in the things that I desire, the stuff that I want to do, the weighing up, Father, is this your will for my life, or am I busy chasing after stuff that is just going to be a distraction somewhere down the line? I guess, yes, we have to work. And yes, we have to be good stewards of that which God entrusts over us. Where we use our talents for his purposes and his plans. But as things become more important what they should be in our lives, that is what this portion of scripture is asking of us. Weighing what is in my life that is competing with the presence of God. And if we are about encountering God, I do believe there's a stripping off and there's a removing of the stuff that is not pleasing to him. I think when we think of that, we think of sin. But the reality is sometimes it's just stuff that is becoming more important to us than what they should actually be. And now I want to get to John 6. You can meet me in John 6. But before I read it, you would know the story of the Israelites, you know, leaving Egypt, and they come into the desert, and there's no food and stuff, so they're complaining, and Moses, you have brought us here to kill us. And then God answers, and he sends the manna and the quail, the Afrikaans in my cup. He sends that to feed them. I would love to have seen that every day. Just the abundance with which God provides. I guess maybe just to link it to, if I sell everything and I obey God in that way, Do I even trust him in such a way that he will provide in a very real way like that for me in my life? That there will be that provision. And then Jesus comes onto the scene in John, and he does the miracle where he multiplies the loaves and the fish, and everybody eats. And I mean, it's just a feast there. And they see this incredible miracle, and they have a flashback to what happened in the Old Testament. They realized, wow, God did this when our fathers were there, and now Jesus is doing it right here in our midst. Look at this. This is amazing. And then we get to verse 26, and Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate and filled the loaves. So they didn't pursue him because they saw the miracles or anything. They were awestruck by the fact that what their fathers experienced, they are experiencing now. They're seeing the miracle of provision of food in their lives. This is amazing. This is awesome. And then he continues in verse 27. He says, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Wow, and again, that call to an account, that weighing up of what am I pursuing? And then it continues, he says, for on him God the Father has set his seal. God has set his seal on the Son, and he will provide for us everything that we need. It is not about the miracle. It's not about the size. It's not about the oneness. It's about pursuing him in such a way that nothing else compares to him. To actually receive the bread and the food that endures to eternal life. And for us, this side of heaven, I guess that is the weight of the question, is what am I pursuing more than anything? Do I want to receive that food that endures to eternal life more than anything else that is in my life at the moment? You see, we can daily pray for breakthroughs. We can seek God for the breakthroughs the whole time. But I believe until we commune with him and we sit with him and we surrender our lives, we will not see the full extent of the miracles that God wants to do through each one of us when we are distracted with the things that have become more important to us. And then Jesus gets to this portion in John 6:35. He says, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall not thirst. The promise here is for total fulfillment of everything that we desire. When we receive Christ as the bread of life, then everything changes. You shall not hunger. You shall not thirst. You know, we chase after stuff, and I realized even that's happened in my own life where I've pursued stuff, and I'm hungry for stuff, but what I'm actually hungry for is for more of God. And it's like the devil comes and he distracts me and he wants to make other things important just so that I don't get more closer to Jesus. He puts counterfeit stuff on the table to take me away from what God actually wants to do in my life. And like I said, I've longed for many things in my life. And I tell you, as many of us sitting here this morning, I've pursued stuff. I've, you know, even made plans to get stuff. And then the incredible thing is when I finally get there, I'm like, is that now all? Was this it now? You know? What am I going to do with this now? Now the chase is over. I got the prize. And it's like, yeah, it's just like deflated. There's nothing. And then you kind of go, right, so what next? And most of us men, we can make plans, man. We're going to pursue something. You see, but what we are chasing, what we are pursuing so hard in our life sometimes are just a mirage, a deception, to get us away from Jesus. And the one thing that we as the elders are hearing, and even just Pastor Heinrich's message with the fast, was that we need to make sure that we are removing distractions from our lives. We are taking away those things that are standing between us and God. The truth is, the enemy wants to allure us away. He just wants to get you away from what God wants to do in our lives. And I believe as we pursue Him, we will see incredible miracles. You will see incredible miracles in your life, in your daily walk, wherever you are, as you surrender to Him. In John 6, verse 47, Jesus says the following, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life." I tell you, in our house, if we have bread, that's what we will eat. Just physically, it's something. Me and Caleb, on Friday, we took out a loaf pretty much on our own. Nah? Okay, so Jamal had a slice. Okay, good. Yeah, yeah. So Jamal was in the mix. And Mama had a slice. Okay, so they had two slices. And then the rest, we but even in their culture, you know, bread was an important sustenance, something to bring life and to keep us alive. And Jesus is saying, listen, don't long for the stuff that gives you short-term pleasure, but long for me that are the bread of life. And this gentle call of the Holy Spirit is just flowing through the whole time that we need to seek Jesus, who is the bread of life. Then we will be truly fulfilled. Then we will be truly full. In verse 63 of John 6, he says this, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no help at all. I know. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. The flesh is of no help at all. I think I've realized long ago that I am not clever or olic enough to figure out my life. And that when I surrender to Him, He becomes the bread of life. When I receive what the Spirit wants to do in my life, there is well springs that jump up and everything changes in my life. When I surrender to Him and I receive the words that He has spoken, that words from the Spirit, they bring life. So I want to encourage you, even as you think about this and ponder about this, to go and pursue God's word, even the prophetic words that He has spoken over you. And again, align your life with what God has actually set out for you to do. And maybe to weigh if you should sell something that has become a distraction, or get rid of something, a change direction to pursue what He has called us or you to do. I believe it's a time where we need to take a bit of a harder or more honest look at our lives and weigh it up in terms of the kingdom and what God is calling us to do. To take a moment and say, Lord, what am I busy with? What am I about? Am I worrying? Am I a warrior or a warrior? Some of us are professional warriors. You wake up worried already about your day and your stuff. As opposed to taking a stand in the anointing and the authority that God has given you and saying, devil, no. You are not doing that in my life and in my family's life anymore. You are not ridiculing us and coming against us in this way. I am now taking authority here because I am a son of God. Because I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. Because my King rules. Therefore, you will not do this anymore. Because He is the bread of life. You know, I said to the youth on Friday, I'm just thinking of this now. You know, if you, Jamal has a friend, he's incredible athlete. You know, he's the Victor Lidorum every year. Okay, he's now moved on. This is when they were in school. I mean, if he puts on his tackies, then we kind of go, so what's the point? you know, he's here. So we know who's going to win. You know, if they're standing there behind the line, you know, the rest of the guys are like, ugh, man, we're going to give you our best. We're going to run like it's, you know, we're just going to do this. If he takes up a hockey stick, you know, he's just incredible. If he plays Rocket League, it's even, you know, he's the best at that too. It's just like, man, if he comes to the field, then nobody wants to play anymore. But do you realize that when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords walks onto the scene, the devil and everybody goes, oh, what's the point? God has arrived. When you walk onto the field, they go, God, game's on, man. Game on today. Eh? Kobus has stepped onto the field. I know him. I know his weaknesses. I know his stuff. I'm going to take him out today. The reality is, when I do that, I often lose. But when God steps onto the field with me, and I've got this t-shirt on, says God's team, and the devil sees this and he's like, we've got our boys, our work cut out for us today, boys. This is going to be a tough game. Because God has stepped onto the field of my life. And I want to encourage you, as you consider the stuff that is competing for your life, when are you alone on the field? Trying to play this game of life on your own and not allowing God to step onto the field with you. Or maybe saying to him, Lord, thank you for coming. There's the, just stand there. Not on the field, Lord. I've got this. I'll wave my hand twice if you have to come onto the field. Then it's okay. No, it's from the get-go to allow God to step into the game of your life with you. And I truly and honestly believe that our lives will look even more incredible than what it's looking at the moment. You know, some of us sitting here today, maybe he's not on the field. For others, he's on the field sometimes. But we all need to get to that place where he is on the field all the time. And my life counts for him so that he can do what he wants to do. He is the bread of life. He is the bread of life. He's the one that sustains you, that keeps you going. He's the one that formed you in your mother's womb, that knows you. He wants to take you to places that you haven't been before, that is even greater than what you can think or imagine. And I believe this is the time for us to step into that.